chapter 1. Now, if you recall, 3 weeks ago, we all walked into the sanctuary, and after we sang praise and worship songs, the lights went out, and we were in total darkness. We learned that Jesus called us to be the light of the world for all the lost world to see. Thank you. We learned as a whole, most of us are just poking tiny holes in the darkness. And as a church, we're pretty much doing the same. Just poking small little holes into a world that is full of darkness. When we are called as individuals and as a church to shine in such a way that totally exposes the dark. We should shine the light that Jesus gave us, and dark should run from us. Not because of who we are, but because of who is in us. Oh, thank you. Now, how do we do this? How is it that we let our light shine? How is it that we expose the darkness in such a way? How do we do it, Brother Kyle? I know what you're saying. I know that God has given me a light. I can feel that light. I can feel when I'm in the presence of others who have that light. But how can I shine my light that the world might know who Jesus is? How do we shine in such a way that the lost world knows who we are? I've got several messages on this shine. How to shine. To get to where I want to go, I have to go back to where I've been before. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, what we just saw there is Jesus commissioning us to shine. Did y'all see that? He is commissioning us as believers to shine. And He didn't tell you you were going to do it in your own power. Here, I want you to go out and complete a task, and you're going to do it on your own. That's not what that scripture says. At the very beginning of that scripture, it says, "And you will be empowered by" who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is going to lead you to do everything Jesus wants you to do, every single one of us, and that is to shine our lights, to expose the darkness in this dark world. Can I get a testimony here? Does this world need to have a light shine on it? Is it not getting darker and darker? Are we not learning on Sunday night through the book of Revelation that, we're 1 week closer to the rapture of the church? When the sun rose this morning, we are 1 day closer to the rapture of the church. Well, praise God, I'm ready for the rapture. I'm ready to go. But do you realize 6.5 billion people are not ready? That's why we need to be shining our light. 6.5 billion people are going to live here and suffer at least part of the tribulation. And any of the tribulation is too much of the tribulation. Wait till you get to see what we're going to see tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we understand that you called us not to be silent. You called us, Lord, not to be dim. God, you called us. You created us. You saved us to be dangerous instruments in the hand of a mighty and a righteous God. To shine our light so brightly that when you come, there'll be no doubt that we're here. But God, there'll never be a doubt in this lost world as who we belong to. Lord, let us shine. Let us shine for you. Lord, let this message just be a testimony of who you are. Nothing else, nobody else, but of who you are. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, I want you to see from a very familiar verse of Scripture that there is perfect order in all God does. God tells us where to start, how to proceed, and where to end. Now, please note that at the beginning of our witnessing is in where? As we look at this scripture, God just commissioned us and He gave us a direction, where are we to start? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Now please listen to me. Listen to me. I had this notion years ago when I was in school, and I still cling to it. We've got Christians that if we have a mission trip to Haiti or Bangladesh or China or Nicaragua or Uganda, and it's a year out, man, they'll sign up, they'll raise money, and they're gone. We're going. Yes, sir. We're on the boat. We're ready to go. Listen to me. Why do you want to go somewhere else when you're not doing anything here? Why would you want to go to another country and do what you're supposed to be doing here, there? Why do you have the freedom to go there and do it, but you don't have the freedom to go here and do it? And listen, I want you to understand something. You do have freedom. First time I went to Nicaragua, I'm telling you, I thought, man, I'm God's calling me to be evangelist. These people are eating this up. I mean, I'm loving this. I mean, they were hungry for it. We'd sit in the back of a truck, and we drive down these busy streets, and we holler out, "Regalos, regalos," that's free gift. And they'd come running to the truck, and we'd hand them little pamphlets about Jesus. And I thought, man, this is great. You can't do this in America. This is wonderful. Until I realized that country doesn't have toilet paper. That they were coming for the paper. They wanted the paper. Now, it was in Spanish, and Lord, I hope they read it, but they just wanted the paper. Hey, God has done something very significant here. He has given us an order. An order. And He says, listen. He says, when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that's happened. You do realize that, right? Well, Brother Kyle, you're going to start talking charismatic. No, I'm not. The day you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, who was it that told you were lost and needed that Savior? The Holy Spirit of God. According to Scripture, not my definition or Southern Baptist definition, according to Scripture, Scripture says when you accept Christ, Christ indwells in you through the Holy Spirit of God. He leads you, He guides you, He directs you. If you're saved, if you're truly saved, you are being led by the Holy Spirit daily. Now, you might not be listening, but He's leading. He's got the wheel. You might be steering, but He's got the wheel. Now, listen to what He says here. He says, when the Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, what should we do? What is it that we should be doing in our Jerusalem? If we're letting our light shine, what is it? How can I let my light shine greater? Brother Kyle, I do believe that we're in the last days. I believe that we're heading ahead strong to the rapture of the church, the seven-year tribulation. What can I do? What can we collectively do? What should we be doing on a daily basis to let our light shine? First thing I want you to do is this. How many of y'all, before you lay your head down to sleep at night, you pray to God? Might be a short prayer. Might be, now lay me down to sleep. How many of y'all pray before you go to sleep at night? Raise your hand. It's okay. Come on. Raise your hand. This is what I want you to do. The Wednesday night class, I challenged them to do this. Every night when you say your prayers, either before you pray or right after you pray, I want you to ask yourself a question. Wednesday night class, what is that question? Y'all remember? See, they ain't even listening. Did I do anything for God today? Did I do anything for Jesus today? You need to ask yourself that question. Listen to me. Christian, that means you are identifying with who? Christ. If you are a Christian, you ought to be identifying with Christ. How often? Every day, all day, all day. When you lay your head in the bed at night, you ought to be able to answer the question that you just ask yourself. What did I do today for Jesus? What did I do? And it's not to pat yourself on the back, but listen, for the love of God, you ought to be doing something, at least one thing, one time a day for Jesus. Amen? You're a Christian. You ought to be. So how can we collectively, what can we do to answer that question on a daily basis? Now, I taught this the first year I came to Chevis Oaks. Good gracious, December's going to be 5 years, Gary. 5 years flown by, hadn't it? What can we do to answer that question? Well, in the back, as you walk out the door, there's a shelf that Poppy has built. And he built it a couple years ago. And it has these little things in it. And these things are called what? Huh? See, y'all know what they are. They're gospel tracts. Now, this is the thing about gospel tracts. This company who makes these tracts, they make them in I don't know how many different languages. Oh, I mean, there's hundreds of languages. And they're still translating newer languages every year. This is the Fellowship Track League. If you go to fellowshiptrackleague.org, you yourself can order tracts. And guess what? They'll send them to your house free. Now, you can give them a contribution. I always give them a contribution. But they're free. You can order 10. You can order 100. You can order 10,000, and they will send them to your house. Okay? Now, what can you do with these? Tracts are fun. I love tracts. And if all of us will, on a daily basis, say, okay, I'm going to put one tract out. Now, if I do it, I'm just punching holes in the darkness. If we all did it, good gracious, what could we do to our Jerusalem? What could we do? Now, I'm not saying that every person who receives a tract is going to read it and accept Christ. I'm not. I'm not saying that. But every person who picks the tract up that you give them or they have it in their hand, they have to make a conscious decision to read it or not read it. To look at it and say it's garbage and throw it down or not. So what that means is when they stand before the Lord, in which we're all going to stand before the Lord, amen? And they look at Jesus and they say, I never had an opportunity. Nobody ever told me about you. Hold on a second. You went to Walmart on May 22nd of 2016, and Tricia Knopf had been there 2 hours prior to you, and she was an FBI agent. She was CIA. Man, she went in there undercover. She looked at the cameras, walked all the way to the magazine section. And you know that romantic novel that you bought? Well, Jesus, I didn't know you knew about that. Well, yeah, I saw it. Well, Tricia had been in there, and she wasn't reading the novel. She was putting tracts in the novel. All those crooked politicians who have books in there, Tricia was putting tracts in every single one of them. And when you got to that page, you looked at that gospel tract and you wadded it up and you threw it in the trash. So I don't believe in that Jesus. Do you believe in me now? It gives people an opportunity to receive Christ. Now, this one of the things I love about tracts, you know, I can't stand paying my power bill in the summertime. I can't. Is there anybody here who does? Oh, yeah, brother. I can't wait for it to come. It's coming this week. Y'all know that, right? Georgia Power is coming this week to my house. And I open all other bills, I kind of, you know, set them to the side. Georgia Power, I'm like this. Because Amy has to keep it like a freezer in our house. I'm testifying. But you know what helps the Georgia Power, me pay the Georgia Power bill a little easier? Because I'll write that check, and then I'll put a gospel track in and I'll send it to them. Every piece of mail. Our car payment goes to, golly. Where are the Mormons? Utah. Utah. Guess what kind of track I put in that one? 10 things the Mormons need to see. Every time. Is that hard? No, I mean, it's easy. And if I do it, I'm just poking holes. But if we all do it, if all of us do it, we're exposing the darkness. It's easy. It's not hard. I love to tell this story. I've told this story in here before, but there might be somebody here who hadn't heard it. When I was a youth pastor, we used to load up the bus. We'd have discipleship training on Sunday afternoon, same time as our youth have their Sunday, their discipleship training. But every other week, we would go out and we would actually disciple. Well, I mean, we would disciple the youth to be disciples. We'd go out and we'd go tracking. And we'd go into Lowe's, we'd go into Home Depot, we'd go into Food Line, we'd go into Walmart, and we'd just all fan out, spread out, and we'd put tracks everywhere. We couldn't put them on the windshields because the managers would run you off. Ask me how I know. But we would put them in you know, different locations. Well, I'm walking. I always told the kids, listen, be discreet. I should have defined discreet a couple of times. Discreet, that means, you know, you're like, discreet. I walk past this one girl, Brother Frank, and she's standing at Bilo in the beer section aisle with the gospel track, and I believe it was like, you know, the Inflaming Hell or something. I mean, it was one of those real vivid, you're going to hell. No, it wasn't like that. But she was twisting them like this and sticking them down in the 12 packs of beer. And I was like, Courtney, don't get caught doing that. She said, these people need Jesus more than anybody. I mean, I wanted them to be bold, but not when I was with them. But she was bold. Hey, listen, that is that hard? It's letting your light shine. That's just one way. Just one way. Well, Brother Kyle, what else can we do? You know, and there's many ways with this tracks. Amy and I used to walk around neighborhoods, and we would commit federal offenses. I've committed multiple federal offenses. Not you. I'd stick them in mailboxes. Alan, you didn't hear that, did you? Yeah, I'd stick them in mailboxes. Where was I going? I know where I was going. I need a dollar. Let me have a dollar, Colin. I know you got a dollar. Last night you racked up, didn't you? Let me have a dollar. Now, you know, some people won't take a track when you talk to them. I remember when Kyle Jr. was a little boy, we used to go to the amusement parks with all the youth, the concerts, and he was a bold little dude. He'd walk up to people and say, Jesus loves you, and he'd hand them a tract. And he used to get just some nasty, nasty looks. But some people won't take a tract. How many people in here, if there was a dollar laying on the ground, I'm going to pick it back up, Colin. If there was a dollar laying on the ground, you'd walk by it. Now, I know some of y'all superstitious people. Y'all, if there's a penny upside down, you go, No. I'm picking it up because I'm saving for a little girl's wedding, and it's going in the change jar. But a dollar. Anybody ever walk past a dollar and say, it's just a dollar? I ain't picking it up. That's just the dollar. Anybody ever done that? You see Amy the other day, she went in the bathroom and she found $6. Now, she owes me $23 from books she's ordered on Amazon, but I didn't get that $6. People will pick up a dollar. Well, what in the world can you do with a dollar? Look here. Watch this. You see that? What does it say? It says, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Romans 10:9. That stamp costs $7. Well, Brother Kyle, That's federal money. Let them lock you up. Lock me up. I'm ready to go to jail for Jesus. I am. Hey, y'all, you know where I got this idea from? I was sitting looking, I was counting money and with the youth from donations, and there was Where's George? Y'all ever seen those on dollar bills? Track George. And I said, hey, let's track Jesus. And that's what I started doing. That's not a good stamp. Is that hard? How many of y'all go to bank on Friday and stand in line and you cash your check? Y'all still do that? Don't do that anymore? Direct deposit, ATM card. Well, there's still you still have cash. Just stamp it. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Is that true? Is that hard? No, not at all. You can still spend that dollar. Drop a couple dollars. What? Drop a couple dollars. People will get excited when they see that thing. And they might pick it up and look at it. And they might look at the scripture. And they might get saved. And it only cost you $2. That's a pretty good investment, isn't it? You have unbelievable treasures in heaven and it only cost you $2. Boy, I wish it was that simple. We take all our $1 bills because that's usually what we get in the offering plate. Y'all know that, right? And stamp them and drop them around town. What else, Brother Kyle? What else can we do? What else can we do? Now, I would love to put a billboard up somewhere in Savannah that says, Jesus is coming, are you ready? Romans 10:9. Love to do that. I'm a preacher married to a school teacher with 3 college-age children. Can I get a witness? Have you ever looked at renting a billboard? Those things are expensive. Expensive. But you can make a billboard. Look here. This has been in my office for some years now. When I was a youth pastor, I had this jig made or this stencil made. And construction was booming in Greer at the time, so I'd go dumpster diving. I still do from time to time, don't I, Poppy? Yeah. And I get plywood, and I would cut the plywood in a perfect 2x2 section, throw the stencil on it, get spray paint, and say, shh, take the stencil and put it on another one. Is that hard? I mean, every now and then I'd get black paint on my fingertips, and my hand would get, kind of cramped up from doing it. And there were times where I would go to hang one of the signs up on a pole, and I'd hit my finger. But it's not hard. This is going to go up tomorrow somewhere. It's been sitting in my office long enough, right? Is it hard? No. Is it expensive? No. I think I spent $12 on the stencil. That's it. And one can of spray paint will do a lot of them. I think it was like 30 signs. And I have a billboard. Now, this is the bad part about the billboards. You go up and you put them somewhere, and the next day you drive by and some atheist is going to knock it down. Yeah. You know what? He's going to have to answer for that. I'm not. But you put them in a busy intersection where people see it. You know, people who get road rage and get mad and at these intersections. Y'all know these people? Yeah. And it's right there for them to see. It might calm them down a little bit. Romans 10:9. What is this Romans 10:9 thing? I need to go home and look up. I don't know what that means. You're planting a seed. Did it cost you much? No. Is it a good investment? Yes. Now, what would it be like if we all did this? It's not hard. Is it hard? What would it be like if we all did it? If we all started doing it all over our Jerusalem and our Judea? Brother Kyle, I can't do it. I'm too old. No, you're not. I'm too young. No, you're not. You're really not. I might get in trouble, but listen, I would rather get in trouble for hanging a sign somewhere than get in trouble for hanging out with the wrong crowd and doing things. I mean, I was always afraid when I'd come home late at night. I wonder if Mom and Dad found out what I did. Yeah, I know why you're laughing like that, Ms. Dale. You know. I took a lot of chances when I was growing up that I shouldn't have taken. But, I think I'd be kind of proud to call Mom and Dad and say, look, I need you to come get me. I'm in jail. Do what? Yeah, I'm in jail. I was putting up a sign pointing people to Jesus, and police officer told me to take it down, and I listened to him, but I didn't take it down fast enough, and he didn't like Jesus, I don't believe, because he didn't like the sign, and I'm in jail. Can you come get me out of jail? Yeah, I'll come get you out of jail. Can you imagine standing before Jesus? Listen, I don't have to answer for a lot of stuff, Bill. I really think, I don't want anybody to go to jail. I don't. Jail's not a good place. But when you are standing in the presence of God and you're going to, and you're reliving your life and you're going to right in front of the Savior, at this point where you are in jail for shining your light on the world, I think God's going to say, hold on a second. There you go. You are shining your light for me. I can use that. I love that. Well, Brother Cal, hold on. Is there anything else I can do? Yeah. Random acts of kindness. Now, we're going to really get into this next month because I've got a surprise for the whole church that the whole church really doesn't know about, but this is a good thing. Well, what are you talking about? Random acts of kindness. Buy somebody a meal. Stop and help somebody who is on the side of the road. Buy someone next to you who can tell is in need. Buy some gas for them. I told y'all my story. It still haunts me to this day. Listen, when you try to pay, or when they try to pay you back, say, listen, I don't want you to pay me back. This is what I want you to do. I want you to come to church with me Sunday morning. Just come to church with me. Yesterday. And I'm not patting myself on the back. Where's Mike? He's working today. Hey, Mike, there's Mike. Mike helped me find a lawnmower. And I used that lawnmower yesterday for the first time. And it had those self-propelled wheels on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But they didn't work. And a self-propelled lawnmower with the wheels that don't work, you have to push that dude. And you're pushing against the self-propelled mechanism. Yeah, thank you. Dan, I know you know what I'm talking about because you had one out there. Yeah. So I was sweating like a dog. And I was preaching this message in my head as I was cutting the grass. Yeah, preachers do that. And as I got to this point right here, the Holy Spirit reminded me that my next door neighbor has moved to Virginia, and his wife and three children are there, and the grass needs to be cut. I'm saying, Lord, hold on a second. This is a new lawnmower, and I'm breaking it in. I'm about to die, and there's a hill on that side, and there's not on this side. He said, yeah, won't you practice what you preach, boy? So I cut her grass, her front yard. Not her backyard. Her front yard. Well, Brother Kyle, why didn't you get to the backyard? Because I hit a root on the side of the yard and it sheared the pin. So now I have two lawnmowers that don't work. But we're going to get the grass cut somehow. Well, what were you hoping for anything? Absolutely nothing. But you see, they don't go to church. They have three small children that I would love, love, love come to Awana. Y'all ever heard the statement, nobody will ever care what you have to say until they know that you care? All it did was give me a door. Did I invite her to church then? Nope. But it's coming. It's coming. Did I invite those children to Awana? Nope. But it's coming. They came to the Halloween trunk or treat this year. That was a tremendous step. I mean, I was excited. Little steps. Acts of kindness. Do random acts of kindness. Listen, here's another way you can let your light shine. Find somewhere God is at work in Savannah. Find somewhere that God is at work in Savannah. Now listen, God, if you're a member of Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, if you're a member here, you ought to be doing something here. You ought to be doing something as an extension through this church to let this community know that your light's shining for the Lord. Well, I don't know what to do. We'll find you something to do. Deborah had to beg some people for VBS this year. Hey, listen, we ought to be doing something through the extension of this church. Everybody, something. Something. Whether it's singing in the choir, teaching a class, teaching a Sunday school, teaching discipleship training, being an usher. Hey, something. Something. But find somewhere in Savannah and join God where He is at work there. Listen, you can volunteer at the Baptist Center. Tony, you can tell them, hey, they're always needing help, aren't they? Always needing help. You older generation, listen, y'all don't work anymore. I know you're retired. All you have to do is go down there and just help. Look, watch this. How are you today? How are you today? Is that hard? It's not. You can go down to the Baptist Center. Listen, you can volunteer at the Dream Campaign. Amy's going down there today. It's a family who went to the worst part of town. We need to do something about Savannah. Savannah's getting out of hand. Well, why don't you do something? We need to hire a new police chief. Well, no, that didn't work, did it? Did y'all watch the news this morning? People died, shot, killed. That didn't work. Jason, if we bring the National Guard in here, people are still going to be killing people, right? Well, what do we do? Somebody needs to do something. Yeah, why don't you do something? Go down there and volunteer. Help. Well, I might get hurt. You're going to die anyway. Die for Jesus. Go to the Hope Academy. Listen, you can go and make visits to nursing homes. There's never been a time that I've gone to visit the nursing home where I sat with a person who's been in the nursing home. They said, I wish people would quit visiting me. All I do is have visitor after visitor after visitor after visitor. That's not the case. Most of the time, there's people who are in the nursing homes that never get a visitor. Sad, isn't it? Hey, you can volunteer at the pregnancy care center. Listen, you can be a mentor to a young person who is struggling through life. Is that hard? Is any of that hard? No. Hey, listen, I got an opportunity for somebody in this congregation. Where is it that Alec goes to school? Who? Savannah Christian. I was sitting in my office the other day, and a lady from an exchange student, she organized an exchange student. An exchange student is coming from China, and he's going to Savannah Christian. Did I say that right? And he needs somewhere to stay for like 6 months of the next school year. All you have to do is house him and take him back and forth to school. Y'all realize that China is it's in a very big, unreached people group. Y'all know that? But they're receptive to the gospel right now. The walls are dropping and the gospel is spreading. I saw a video just the other day of a group of Chinese people who had gotten Bibles in, and they were smelling them and kissing them. And listen, they didn't get their Bible and run out the door. They got their Bible, and immediately they sat down. And you know what they did? They opened the Bible and started reading. There's you an opportunity. Is that hard? No. It's not hard. Listen, you can learn to present the gospel. Well, Kyle, that's hard. How many in here know the exact day or the date they got saved? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Be proud. I accepted Christ on January 19th of 1989. Y'all know the date. Well, let's see. 89, 99 is 10 years. 2009 is 20 years. 11, 12... 13, 14, 15, 16. That's 26 years. Is that right? 26 years? 26 years I've been saved. 26 years I've had the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be living inside of me. 26 years I've been reading the Word of God. 26 years I have been in the fellowship with other Christians on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night when I've had the opportunity. 26 years. 26. How many years do you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you before you feel comfortable doing what God has called you to do? He has called you to be a witness, not just me. Well, preacher, you're a preacher. It's easy for you to present the gospel. People expect it from you. Listen, they expect Christians to be Christians. We ought to be comfortable enough by now to be able to present a very simple gospel presentation to somebody. Do you really love the people that you encounter who are in your mission field? Now, I don't suggest you walk into the conference room when the boys are talking about the game and what they did the past weekend and say, "Hey guys, look, I want to ask you, do y'all know Jesus?" That's not smart. But when you're in the car or you're in private with somebody and you're just standing next to somebody, and they should know that you're a Christian. They should know by your actions that you're a Christian. And by that, they're probably expecting you at some point to ask them about their walk with Christ. Should. When you're in private with them, just ask them. "You know I'm a Christian, right? Do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? Can I tell you about Him?" Now, there's all kinds of methods. There's faith. There's this step. There's this. I mean, there's all kinds. I keep it simple. I tell them what Jesus said in John chapter 3. The story with Nicodemus. And then I go straight to Romans 10:9. I don't beat around the bush. People might, you might feel more comfortable with the Roman roads. You might, whatever. But after a certain period of time, shouldn't you feel the comfort of presenting the gospel? How long? How long should it take? Well, what's that scripture? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things? That includes present a simple gospel message to people you say you care about, right? Right? This is an important one. I'm just about done. I know it's after 12. How could we let our light shine in Jerusalem, in our Judea? Be excited about what God is doing. Be excited about what God is doing. Invite people to church. Be positive. People are drawn to people who are positive, who seem to have it all together. You might be bat crazy, but be positive. Don't be negative. Amy and I have never sat around on a Friday night and said, "Hey, we hadn't gone out with so-and-so in a while. We hadn't been around negative people in a while. Let's go hang out with them." No. People are drawn to positive people. Church, do you realize that it does not matter how bad our lives get? We should smile knowing that God has us and our issues in the palm of His hand. People are drawn to people who want to be close to God. Now, I understand. Listen, this was a very simple, short message. But let me ask, how much greater of an impact would we be making if we make these little adjustments in our lives to make Christ known? Is any of it hard? Now, if I do it, it's great. But if all of us did it, how much light would we be shining? We'd be shining an unbelievable light to the city of Savannah. Does Savannah not need it? And take these same concepts and everywhere we go throughout the state of Georgia, our Judea, does the state of Georgia need it? Yeah. Do you understand, church, that Satan does not want you to shine your light? He wants you to sit and do nothing. He does not want you to shine your light at all. Nothing. And He's winning. I want you to listen to a scripture. Peter and John had been arrested for witnessing, for proclaiming the gospel. The Jewish authorities brought them forward. And they couldn't figure out what to do with them. They wanted to kill them. Listen to what they said to Peter and John. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they asked them this question: by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about the good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he has been healed, let it be known to all of you and all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, who you crucified and by whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone despised by you, the builders, who has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by people which we must be saved. Peter was done playing. He was done denying. He was done backing up. He was done sitting down. The Jewish authorities got together and said, okay, guys, we got to do something about this Peter. What are we going to do? So they told Peter, listen, we're going to let you go off this time slightly, because they were afraid if they did anything to him, the people there would revolt against the Jewish authorities. So they told Peter and John, said, listen, we're going to let you go this time. We're going to let you slide. No more talk about Jesus. Just slide out of town. Don't say anything about Jesus. This is what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't mind you being a Christian, but he wants you to be a quiet Christian, an unrepentant Christian, one who doesn't read the Bible, doesn't care about church that often, listen, ain't going to do nothing, had never done nothing, never told anybody about Jesus. And listen, if you are doing that, you're a target. He's coming after you. If Satan's not bothering you, that means you're doing nothing. So what is it that Peter said? I mean, he got off by the skin of his teeth. He could have been killed. What was his response? Yes, sir, we won't say anything else about Jesus. Listen to what Peter said. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to what God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. How is it that this Peter, who was so readily to deny Christ just a few short weeks ago, is now boldly saying, I cannot shut up because what I've seen and what I've heard, you can't shut me up. Kill me, beat me, stick me. Put me on a cross. I don't care. I will not shut up about Jesus. How is it that the same Holy Spirit possesses Peter and John that possesses us, but we're so quickly quiet? We're so satisfied with doing nothing. Jesus is worth more than that to us, we say. Hey, listen, guys, all of this is easy. It's easy. If we all do it, we're making a tremendous impact. What's keeping us from doing it? Us? Ask yourself daily as you pray, have I done anything for Jesus today? Have I done anything for Jesus today? Is there anything that I've done today when I stand before Him, I'm going to get a high five on my day of visitation? Is there anything that I've done? Do something for Jesus every single day. He does for you. He does for you. Our Wednesday night class, a lesson, was on Luke 12. And we've heard Jesus tell us, And we had better be prepared for His return by serving Him now. Church, are you ready for the Lord's return? Knowing your service record? Are you ready for the Lord's return? I've given you a very simple way to serve the Lord in your Jerusalem, your Judea. Every night when you lay your head down, ask yourself that question. What did I do for Jesus today? You ought to be able to answer. Amen? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, as we come to You during this time of invitation, Lord, I've done my very best to present what You've told me to present. Lord, it's not hard. We make it hard to be a witness for You. I pray that You would just purge our hearts right now during this time of invitation. If there's somebody here who doesn't know You as their personal Savior, God, I pray that You'd give them the freedom to walk down the aisle, come take me by the hand, let me show them what Scripture says they must all do. We must all do to inherit eternal life. But God, You know the heart of every person who's here this morning. You know how this message either affected them or put them to sleep. I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would move during this time of invitation and You'd have us on our knees before You, knowing who we truly are and what we've truly done and what we truly need to do. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?